Pray that we accept that gift, Lord, and that we live up to our fullest potential through you and in you, Jesus Christ. Help our lives not to be about us, Father. Help us to be in tune with your Spirit, Lord, so that we are just teachable, Lord. Help us to be more like children that have trust and that listen. Help us not to be hard-hearted adults, Lord, that don't want help from anyone or don't want to listen, or we just think we know everything our own way. Help that death and that resurrection mean something to us, Lord, and that we don't trample on it, Lord.
Bye.
you for being unchangeable, Lord. In a world where it seems that morals are always changing, and what's good is bad, what's bad is good, Lord. But you don't change, Father. You're the same in the beginning and the end, Lord. Father, I thank you for giving us the gift of your word, Father, so that we can dig deep, Lord, and we can see where your moral compass is, Lord, and what you want from us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, also that you're unstoppable, Lord, that whatever you want for my life, Lord God, and for everyone's life here, Lord, you're going to use their life, Lord. You're going to have it for your purpose, Father. Help us to submit to that, Lord God, because in the end, Lord, it's your will that is going to be done, Lord. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. Father, help us to submit now, Lord, so we can just enjoy your freedom, Lord God, and the goodness that you have for us, Lord.
Rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garment of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As the bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in the spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, so that he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and open the prison to those who are bound.
Jesus.
Father, this morning we just lay everything at your feet, Lord God. For those of us, Lord God, that have family members, Lord, that are not seeking you, Lord, and with all of our hearts, that's all we want, Father. We give them to you, Father. Whoever you're bringing to our mind right now, Father, we lay down at your feet and we say, Lord, please rescue them. Please put a hunger in their hearts, Lord. For those of us that have things holding us back from fully following you, Lord God, we lay that down at your feet right now, Lord God. We say, break us of those chains, Lord. Help us to be overcomers, Father, so that we can jump in and be 100% living for you, Lord. For those of us, Lord God, that are dealing with ailments, Lord God, and have illnesses, and we're sick, and things that can be fixed, and Lord God, things that can't be, Father, we lay those at your feet right now, Father. We pray for wisdom, Lord God. We pray for guidance, Father. We also pray, Lord, for peace, Lord. I just pray, Father, that you just be with us, Lord. Father, all we want to do is hear your voice and to learn and to follow, Lord. Help us to get out of the way so we can do that. We give you this day, Father. I just pray, Father, that we have soft hearts today.
Started, and just so that everybody knows, if anybody wants, you can check us out on the Joy FM website. The Carrie Joe is coming this Thursday in Lakeland, and so if anyone is interested in going to see her, visit joyfm.com. Also, this Friday, there's a ballet. Now, listen, now hold on. As you can probably look at me and tell, I'm not normally a ballet guy. Okay, not that there's anything wrong with that. However, this ballet is called Stratega, and it's going to be performed up in Lakeland this Friday. The tickets are $15, and it's a whole acting ballet thing based off C.S. Lewis's book on the Screwtape Letters. Mm. And it's all about spiritual warfare. And so it's like $15 or $20, depending on where you want to sit. And if anybody wants to go, you can look at that information at joyfm.com, or you can contact Lisa and I. We're going to try to rearrange some things on Friday. We just found out about it, and because we want to go. So if anybody else wants to go to that too, want somebody to go with, contact us. We'd be happy to go with you. Also this week, what else do we have? Bear with me one second. Tuesday is the men's group, right? And we're going through 2 Samuel, and that's a little Bible study we have. It's some food. And Gary, you might want to share.
We're going to learn what we can learn from a crippled man.
Okay, from a crippled man. A lot of us are broken, so we can learn a lot from him. And through 2 Samuel. And then Thursday is barbecue and Bible study. And Tom? Where's Tom?
Yeah, it's Pathway to Emotional Healing.
Pathway to Emotional Healing, okay. Mm-hmm. Thursday barbecue and Bible study, everybody's welcome to that, families are welcome. And then, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I'm forgetting.
Forum.
Friday Forum? Yep.
Diane.
Okay, yes. Yes, oh, it's not that cold, you guys. Okay. Parkas and blankets, it's Florida. Come on. Okay. Also, hey, just so I don't forget, we're going to be, please pray for Amanda Pan and Josh as she's healing from gallbladder surgery. Also, they're supposed to be starting up the youth group here. Yes, again, very soon. So I think at the first week, maybe it's either next week or the week after, so I got to check. And then we're having a a wing night, since we did a 5K, I'm actually on a leave. If you see me walking, it's not a John Wayne walk to be cool. It's because I'm in pain. And so there was about 10 or 15 folks that was at the 5K superhero run. It was a lot of fun. And just to let you know, I'm sure you're all interested where I finished. I finished with a 11-year-old girl, a 10-year-old girl, from Skylar from our school, and my 6-year-old son. We came across, just to let you know about where I rated on the 5K run. But it was a great time, and so it was a cool time for families, and so thanks for everybody coming out there. And also, the game night Friday, I heard there was about 10, 15 people here too, Settlers of Catan, Domino's, and stuff like that. So thanks for coming out to that as well. Okay, so I got that in. Is there anything else? Oh, and so we're going to have, since we had that healthy thing with the 5K family thing, family run, walk, we're now going to do, in about 3 weeks, we're having a wing night. And it's an all-you-can-eat wing night. It's going to be for the families and the youth, okay? So it's going to be at Quaker Steak and Lube. We'll have more information up on the screen. I don't have anything this week because Gary's teaching. The buffet costs, we'll say $15, either $14 or $15, okay? The church will take care of the tip aspect of it, but it's going to cost $15, and it's going to be an all-you-can-eat wing contest. Who can eat the hottest wing contest? Who can eat the most hottest wings contest? And so families are invited, so yes.
No.
Yes, it is on a Tuesday, and it'll probably be on a men's night, so I'll talk to Gary, see if Gary wants to include the men too. That's spiritual endeavor.
Healing line for people
right.
They've got this, what is that, the heat index of hot wings?
Scoville index.
And it starts off at 100, and it actually goes up to 500,000.
It's up higher than that.
So, Quaker Steak and Lube. I think it's like a Brandon or something. It's good. It's a fun place. If you like cars. Okay, so let's take a minute and let's bring Gary here and let's pray for him. And then I'll be teaching again next week. But I want to say something too, because sometimes this happens. So if you were here, if you missed last week, sometimes people don't come when I'm not teaching. What did I do? There's a lot of great teachers here that we have. And it's the word that really doesn't return void. But if you were here 2 Sundays ago, mm-hmm. and you weren't here last Sunday, man, I just want to really encourage you. Last Sunday's teaching on hearing the voice of God was, I thought, right on the money. It was excellent. And so last week's teaching was, first week's was technically correct. But I really think, I really thought that last week's teaching was very, very spirit-led. Really excellent. So go online and you should be able to hear that. George has got that up there first. All right, let's pray for Gary. Father, I just want to say thank you for Gary. I know his heart is to serve you. And Lord, I know this is a special topic. He so wants to communicate your heart in this area. I just pray, even right now, that you would give him your words, that you would give him your heart, that you would instill your spirit in him so strongly, Lord, that he would only speak the words you would have him speak, Lord God, this week, Lord God, and nothing that you would not have him speak. So help him to be bold where he needs to be bold, and kind and gentle and when he needs to be gentle. But let your words be spoken here, Father God. So organize his thoughts, organize his heart, his mind, and let your words be just come from his lips, Lord. Give us listening ears to whatever your spirit has to say. So bless him, encourage him, and strengthen him in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
There's a thumb drive up here. I'm just going to put it on the side. Now we know who's watching. Forgive me for all this setup. We'll see. Does everybody have a Bible? You know, could you pass around? Anybody not bring a Bible today, please raise your hand if you will need them.
Thanks for pointing me out.
It's funny, last Sunday that I was in the back and so I wasn't up immediately when worship started. I came up midway through worship and Mary Kay whispers in my ears. She said, I wondered where you were with you chicken half. Truthfully, it is kind of scary to be up here. Not that speaking in front of people scares me. I've been doing that since I was in high school. But sharing the word, sharing God's love, and being a representative is scary. Because I've never wanted to do anything that would push anybody away or mislead or misrepresent anything. And, last week, Darren was right. Last week went better than the first week. In large part because you all contributed. And please do that again today. The Lord leads you to share something. What he may be giving you is either something I may have forgotten that I don't know. He's giving you for somebody else in the body here. You know, the body is stronger when all the parts are contributing. So please raise your hand, raise your voice, stand on a chair, whatever it takes to get my attention. Okay, let's see.
Turn it on.
I got to turn it on, right? Yes. Thank you. I enjoy starting with a quote. One of the greatest tragedies of life is knowing Scripture without knowing the God who wrote it and knowing His love. And I think, I hope that never becomes me, that I know the words, but I don't know the heart of the Lord. And that's one reason why I think hearing from God is so important. Now, today, after a real brief review, is this life, and this is going to be real brief. One, we know from the past, and all the scriptures to support this, I've brought more of the sheets here up front. So if you don't have one, please take the sheet home. It'll be good for your quiet time. Yeah, but we know the Lord speaks to us. Right? He still speaks today. It wasn't just for the time of the prophets and Jesus and the disciples. He speaks in a variety of ways, audible voice. He can speak through your pastor. He can speak through a husband or wife. He can speak in a dream. He can speak in a vision. He can speak through nature. He can speak in so many
different
ways.
A donkey,
yes. Well, we hope that's not happening today. The written and the spoken word work together. I think with the Lord, when He takes the most valuable, to avoid being the person who knows Scripture but doesn't know the heart, and that is to have the Lord speak to you through the Scripture, touch your heart, tell you how it applies to your life, how it applies to your family, and that. And so I think the written word, and I'm calling it the spoken word, but the non-written word, and that work together. The written word, if we're dealing with the reliable translation, and that's a whole different subject that I'm not qualified to talk on anymore, so we won't do it today, we can trust. We know we can trust the word we're looking for. Things that we hear, we need to test that. We need to test that against the written word, against the nature of God, against the nature of Jesus, confirmation by a pastor or somebody that we know walks with the Lord. And so we need to test those things. We can't just trust Him in that because we do have an enemy. And he likes to mimic the voice of the Lord. And he will tell us things that are 90% correct and 10% is a flat-out lie that's aimed to lie, cheat, and destroy. So we need to test those things. And I think that hearing from the Lord brings us closer to Him and blesses our lives. Okay. What's the purpose of prayer? What do you guys think? Come on. Give me some feedback here.
Praise God.
I'm sorry? Praise?
Praise God.
Yeah.
So cool. Communicate with
them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's two-way. All right. What else?
Thank you.
Communicating with God.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thank him.
Thank you. Yes. Exactly. Yeah, I look at the example I would use is the Lord's Prayer, right? That, you know, tells us, you know, beginning our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, praise. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And help bring his kingdom, to bring his will, his kingdom here on earth. Amen. And then, you know, our daily bread. It's okay for us to ask for the things that we need.
You know, Gary, I thought that was one of the neatest things you brought up. Sorry. I thought that was one of the neatest things. Is that why you're sitting right here?
nice job. You're doing great.
I think that was one of the coolest things. I don't know if you said it or someone else did, but, you know, that's the main purpose, isn't just to give a monologue. It is for us to make requests, and it is for us to praise, and it is for us to do all those things too, but it also is asking God what is his will in this situation, in this job, in this relationship, in this talk, in this everything. What's your will? And it's almost, you know, it's more important than me telling him, this is my will, God, this is what I want to do for you. It's more important to hear what his will is in these situations. And so that was really something I thought was really, just stood out to me last night as everybody was talking. You know, what a difference that would make in so many Christian lives if we were asking him continually, what's your will? What's in this? What do you want me to do in this situation? Instead of just going, you know, on autopilot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think I have it on a later slide. It's an opportunity for us to find out what God would like to co-labor with us on. And that obviously he's the senior partner in the partnership. That, but you know that we get to find out where he wants to go. So we can walk with him. You know, I jokingly say I'd rather jump on God's bandwagon than ask him to jump on mine. This is a whole lot more fun destination. Okay, why don't I get what I asked for? You know, why do you think that is? And that because there's, you know, let's say all prayers, you know, aren't answered. And then why don't I get what I asked for? Yeah.
Maybe it isn't in line with what God wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe it doesn't in line with what God wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know, if I put my bad pocket, that'll work. Yeah, sometimes, you know, the timing is wrong. I think, you know, last week I mentioned, you know, I had a job that I wanted to leave desperately, and the Lord kept saying, no, I want you to stay there. Well, you know, I asked the Lord, get me out of here. And you know, I didn't get what I wanted. And that because the timing was wrong. You know, I'm sure when God told Abraham to go make a sacrifice, Abraham was going, Lord, where's the offering? I mean, you can't be serious that, you know, I'm supposed to offer Isaac. And yet, you know, he didn't get an answer to that prayer until they were on the mountain and the lamb showed up in the thicket. And that the timing sometimes isn't right. And that, so sometimes we don't hear because the time isn't right. And the timing, I think, you know, sometimes it builds patience. That was the case of mine. Sometimes it builds our faith. When we go to the Lord and we stay with him. And then he answers. And then it builds faith. And sometimes it's just flat out in his timing. He knows the events of the future. We don't. And so a lot of times I'm asking for something immediate. And that's not his will for us. Sometimes we ask amiss. Let's go to James 4:3 quickly. Yes, please do.
James 4:3, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions.
Yeah, the NIV has you ask with wrong motives. And, you know, sometimes that's true. You know? Frankly, I've been praying for a 1958 Cadillac convertible for years. You don't see me driving it. Probably because it's for my motives and not the Lord's.
Well, Gary, if I can,
I'd like even, you know, verse 4, it's, you know, with an exclamation, you adulterous people, you know, like it's just, there's an answer for you. Ponder on that. Yeah. You know, what are you asking me? Why are you wanting your passions and not my, again, why not my will? You know, and I just think, wow, that's a pretty strict answer. Kind of makes you shrink back a little bit and ponder.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes, you know, we don't get what we ask for because the Lord has something even better for us. You know, again, my job situation. You know, he kept me in, you know, I was stayed in a miserable situation for about 3-4 years, and that, but it was so I could be in a position where he could set up a business that I had not planned for me, that, for, you know, gives me the freedom that I have now to be able to do, you know, things, some of the things that I enjoyed. And that, so sometimes his plans are better than our plans. Not sometimes, all the time his plans are better than our plans. But sometimes we don't recognize that at the time either. And that's like, Lord, I know the right answer here. Would you please perform?
You're going to mention Lazarus, that I won't put.
No, go ahead.
You know, I was just thinking about what you just said. You know, the Lord has something better for you. You know, I was thinking of the story of Lazarus. You know, when Jesus, you know, they sent word to Jesus and they said, hey, you know, the brother, you know, the guy that you love is sick and we want you to come heal him, you know, and Jesus could have come right then and healed the sickness, and he would have felt better. But he didn't. And Lazarus, it says that he died. And when he got there, the girls were kind of mad. They were like, you know, Lord, if you had been here, he would still be alive. But the Lord had something better. If he would have just healed their sickness, they had already seen that. They'd seen Jesus do that. But Jesus wanted to do something better. He knows Marcus Gear, otherwise he'd be saying, Lazarus! But anyway, but he had something better. He wanted to show people and raise him from the dead after being dead for days. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, his timing, and that was building people's faith. In fact, many people came to him because he didn't do it in the timing that they asked. And so sometimes you're so right in the situation. Lord, I thought you loved this guy. I thought you were going to heal. But the Lord is saying, I want to do something even more powerful and better to bless and affect more people than you even realize. Mm-hmm. So that's a really, he does have something better for us sometimes.
Yeah, no, actually, and I had not planned on bringing that example, too.
I had a verse kind of
Related
to that.
Hang on for a microphone. Yeah.
I do.
Okay. Let me rephrase it. Give a polite voice.
I had a verse that kind of stuck out to me this week that goes along with this, and that's in Mark chapter 9, verse 49, and it says, everyone will be salted with fire. And I thought about that a lot this week because I've never really seen it before, that verse. At least not that my memory can
remember.
But, you know, the scripture talks about losing our saltiness. And here is a verse that says we can have saltiness kind of imposed on us, and it's through fire, which is trials. And so often when we're in a trial, we're asking God, get me out of this, take this away, solve this immediately, and that's natural. I do the same thing. But God is often salting our life and our soul, or wanting to. And here's one of the only ways that I've seen in the scripture where we can be salted. Is through trials, and I had not really contemplated that like I have this week, that a trial is often for our benefit along with whatever else God is doing, if we will take the time to step back and see how he wants to solve this.
Good. No, thank you. I think, too, going along with that, because you're right, our first inclination whenever we're in pain is to say, God, get me out of this. And that one, maybe what it should be is, Lord, what can I learn from this? How can I be changed? How can I become a better disciple? And that's Lord.
I so agree with Sue. So many times God is trying to teach us something, and he'll withhold things from us for a time and keep us coming to him and for patience. And we need to grow in patience in that way. But in Psalm 66, it says, I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be the God, because he has not yet rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. So we do very often have things in our life that God wants us to confess and to turn from. And he will withhold prayers. He will withhold blessings at times because of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get there in a second. You might as well pass the microphone to your husband.
It brings me to John 9, when they ask, why was this man born blind? Did he sin, or did the parents sin? And a lot of times we don't understand the sovereignty and the will of God. But Jesus replied, neither this nor his parents sin, but that the works of God should be revealed through him. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes in our lives, God allows for the purpose that he would represent himself in through that healing or whatever he wants to do to the world, not for us, that he would be glorified.
Mm-hmm. So similar to what Pastor Dan was talking about last year. I think we describe what that the Lord knows better than we do. Mary? Wait, hang on. Let's get a microphone.
Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good work. Pleasure. It's basically God doing everything through us and in us for him.
Yeah, his kingdom come.
One thing too, and this is something that I have to tell, instill in my children, if they're saying, well, why, he's not answering me, he's not, with what I pray, I'm not getting it. Well, no is an acceptable response. Mm-hmm. And so we don't always get what we're praying for because it's not right. What's right for us, and he knows better than he's right. So, no, that is an answer. Yeah. That is an answer.
And it's a perfect transition to where I want.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you. Great job. Spirit's leading place. Why don't I hear from God? Right? And the truth is that we don't always hear from God immediately. Sometimes we hear yes. Sometimes we hear no. And sometimes we feel like we don't get an answer in that. And you have to, so part of it is, I think, that the answer, the timing might be wrong for us to receive an answer. The Lord may want us to wait to have the answer. The example of Abraham and Isaac in that, Anthony.
I just like what you said about, no's acceptable answer, because in my own situation, I'm waiting to hear the answer I want to hear. God has already answered me, and I'm like, okay, I'm kind of ignoring that because I'm still waiting for the answer I want to hear. It's going to go along the lines of what I want. Right. Let me ask it again, maybe. Yeah. Or rephrase it, and maybe not understand. So, I just like, how that came out. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Something else that occurs to me when we don't hear from God, the enemy would have us do one of two things. Okay. One would be to blame God. God, I need this now. You're not answering my prayer. I'm not hearing anything from you. Where are you? You obviously don't love me. You don't care about me. And so, and the enemy wants to separate us from God that way. The other way he wants to separate us from God is that, oh, I'm unworthy. The Lord doesn't care about me. I'm too little. I've done stuff that cannot be forgiven. Grace doesn't cover it. The blood doesn't cover it. And that I'm unworthy of the Lord, and that he's turned his back on me. The enemy would be happy if we did either of those two things. Okay. I think we need to sometimes be comfortable that we have not heard from the Lord. Say, okay, Lord, you know, your timing, I'm still listening. You know, I'm going to listen. And then sometimes that means we go back to the Lord and go, Lord, you know, I still haven't had an answer to this prayer. You know, is now the time, or do I need to keep waiting? But there are some prayers that we don't get answered to. And it's because we need to make some changes. And that's some of the ones here. Let's find out why we're not hearing from the Lord and what can we do about it. Now, the first I put on the list is that, and it's probably a fairly common one, sin could be blocking your hearing. Now, I know if I've done something wrong to Nathan here, well, frankly, I'm going to want to avoid the Tuesday night at the men's study. I'm going to make sure that the two of us don't get side by side. If I know there's sin in my life that I haven't confessed, I haven't repented of, I really don't want to get that close to the Lord. Right? Have you ever had that where it's like, I'm going to skip my quiet time today. I'm not going to pray today. I'll read the Bible tomorrow. And I think sin in our life can do that. Sin that's committed against us can also do it. And that if somebody's hurt us badly. I mean, I found times, I get up and it's supposed to be time I'm spending with the Lord, and I can't help but think about this person, what they've done to me, and it's not right, and I want to do something about it. Some forgiveness in my heart. As soon as I forgive them, I turn it over to the Lord, then I can start communicating with the Lord again. Anyway, he was talking about that. And I know there's probably, anybody want to share an example along that, or is that too personal? Certainly true. You may not be listening for his voice. Revelation 3:20. Please, the sound of rustling Bible pages. Let's read both 19 and 20.
Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me.
What I take from that is, one, that we were just talking about, there shouldn't be sin in our life. But two, the Lord is knocking on our door. Right? He's ringing the doorbell. Or whatever those new systems are, they have the cameras and they ring your phone. The Lord is there. Am I listening for his voice? There's times that I'm so busy telling the Lord the way I think things should be, I don't listen for his answers. Kind of the way sometimes I'm, sometimes I am. You may be too busy or moving too fast. And I don't know who said it, but it's absolutely true. One of the great Bible teachers, preachers from the 1800s, I think it was, Pastor Darren and Tom, maybe you'll know who I'm talking about. They always said they spend an hour or two in prayer every morning. Right? And they said when their schedule got really busy, they needed an extra hour in prayer. Not less time, but they needed more time. Right? No, it's not. The Lord is leading you in your day. He's going to tell you what stuff can fall off your day, what stuff really can be left undone. And he's also going to give you right answers so you don't waste time and energy. And then, Sue, for Nathan.
No, it's good. It's good.
By the way, today is Nathan's birthday.
of some kind that when I'm not hearing from God regarding any kind of issue, but especially direction, that's the time when I need to step back and open my eyes, not just my ears, but to go on observation.
Explain what that means.
Well, for me, it means to just start looking at everything that's going on around me, what God might be trying to show me about myself or the circumstances, or to just be observant that He has something He wants to show me, and I need to just be watchful.
It sounds like you're describing the various ways that God talks to us. That He can talk to us through other people or through nature, through events.
Right.
That's,
you know, I call it putting your antenna up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And often He has things that He wants to show us that aren't even necessary, that are kind of related to what we're praying about, but He wants to us to kind of back up, to come up, to get a larger viewpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, quite a, I think a lot of times there, it's that the Lord doesn't want to just answer our prayer. He wants to answer it plus. He wants to do bigger than what we're asking for. You talk about putting antenna up. I don't know if I mentioned that or not. I wasn't raised having dogs and things. Mary Kate and the kids brought one in a number of years ago. You know, it's funny because when she was listening for something, the floppy ears stood up and they turned. You know, like the antenna rotors we used to have when I was a kid. I don't have any more, I guess. Gloria, you have something?
About a year and a year and a half ago, Sue was mentioning here that for me, about a year and a half ago, I went through a period where it was a dry spell. They call it dry spell. You're just really not hearing from the Lord that much. You don't feel His presence. You feel like you're distant from Him. And it was very disconcerting. I didn't like it. I felt very uncomfortable in that position. So I really cried out to the Lord. But, you know, what He revealed to me was through that time that how much time are you really spending in the Word, Gloria, and in prayer and in praise? Are you and I had to admit, no, I've been distant. If you haven't moved and gone anywhere, Lord, it was me. And I haven't been spending time in praising You and worshiping You. And I really haven't been spending enough time in the Word or in prayer. So Jeremiah 29 says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will answer, I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And that was really what my problem was. I was not seeking the Lord with all my heart, and I had allowed myself to drift into a place of dryness. But God took care of that when I repented of that. And I had to repent of it, or else it would have stayed like that.
I think at least I've gone through periods, dry periods. And I think most of all of us have. Sue? Yeah. Just raise your hand in agreement. Another reason that we don't hear is that our hearts may have become hard. Almost like, you know, God's sending us a word. We've got our receiving set shut off. You know, and the message just kind of bounces off. And then if you go to Hebrews 3, who would like to raise your hand? So we can get a microphone. Yeah, Hebrews 3, verses 7 through 9.
Hebrews 3, 7 through 9.
So, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as you did in the rebellion, during the time of the testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did.
We have the opportunity, we have a choice. Daily we face a choice whether we harden our hearts or not. You know, whether we listen to the voice of the Lord, whether we obey the Word, whether we choose to spend time in the Word, like Gloria was saying, or are we going to do other things? Are we going to harden our hearts to his message to us? That's a choice that we make. So that it's not something that's forced on us. It's our choice. Matthew 13. I'll tell you what, maybe since you're the one bearing the mic right there, do you mind doing that as well?
13
through
16?
Yes, if you have some nice voice.
Okay. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. And then is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Is that going? Okay. For the people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them.
I think sometimes if our heart's hard, it's a little bit like what Sue was just saying a minute ago, that, you know, when Sue says that, you know, she wants to turn her senses on, you know, turn her, raise her antenna, right, that was the phrase, and that's softening your heart, right? That's saying, I'm really pressing in here. I really want to hear from you. And you know, when we do that, you know, then we understand. And it's funny, I mean, Jesus spoke in parables, right? And I think sometimes the Lord kind of speaks in parables to us today too. You know, the Lord wants to give us more than what we were looking for. But sometimes we're so busy looking for this that what he has here, because he's actually expanded, we miss it. And it's because our hearts are hard. And I can think of the time every once in a while I get to do some prayer ministry, and there's a group situation, and after a message, they sent team members out, you know, among the people in the congregation with the instruction, just, you know, go wherever the Lord leads you to go, and pray with whoever that person is. I heard from the Lord, go see this specific girl. I didn't know her, and frankly, I was new to the group, and I was afraid. My heart was hardened. The Lord said, go to this girl, but I didn't want to do it because I figured if I don't, I go over there and I don't know what to pray, I'm going to look stupid. I was all concerned about me. My heart was hiding. And it was funny, I didn't hear, you know, much from the Lord that weekend. A few months later, it was another conference, and the Lord convicted me afterwards, you know, how bad I was. And similar situation, well, this time the Lord told me to go pray with the senior pastor of the church that we were at. And frankly, I was afraid to disobey. It wasn't courage on my part. I was afraid to disobey. And the Lord told me exactly what to pray, which isn't surprising, because if the Lord tells you to go speak, pray with somebody, he's not going to send you there and go, okay, you fill in the blanks. That would be foolish, because I can't fill in the blanks, and he knows that. It's funny, afterwards, right, and that I found out from the priest that the church was kind of a split in the road, was a fork in the road, and the Lord had given me exactly what he needed that weekend. Wow. Had nothing to do with me, it was all the Lord. Yeah, but a hard heart will keep you from doing that. And that's, you know, what did that do? That brought, that brought some of God's kingdom here on earth.
One thing that I also noticed, too, was, like, sometimes we have to be careful of, or at least I do, you know, and I've watched this over many years, you know, we have to be careful that our heart isn't hardened in a particular area. In other words, like, okay, things are just not going right with you. You're not hearing in general, and Okay, but you are growing in other areas, and so you're looking at those things, thinking everything's okay, but something's still not right, and you can't quite... It's because there's that one certain area that you have hardened your heart in, and you know, and maybe if you don't know what that is, you know, ask some godly people that really know you well around you, just to ask, is there anything that you're seeing in me? Is there anything... that I've maybe put a blind eye to, some blinders on, because sometimes it's just one particular area, but that affects all of our lives,
mm-hmm.
you know, the whole of us.
Yeah, well, it isn't, good point, and it strikes me that there are sins we become blind to, that are so habitual, so accepted in our life, that we just don't even see them anymore. It's a little bit like the fire that Sue was talking about, I think. I think sometimes the Lord will use that fire to burn off that particular hardness of heart. And so we're able to do this. Tom and then Sue.
Yeah, notice there's, in this book of Hebrews, there's five warnings that he gives. And the first one was the drifting away in Hebrews 2. And I mentioned, just to bring it up, how sometimes we begin to drift. The next is doubt and unbelief,
mm-hmm.
and hardening our hearts, and it gets worse and worse.
Well,
so we gotta
get back. Well, hardening is a spiritual disease. You know, I think if there's a little part of my heart that's hard, like Pastor Jeremy was talking about, it grows. It doesn't stay. It doesn't shrink by itself. It doesn't stay by itself. It will grow if you don't pull it out and burn it off.
And we slowly drift away. It's not a whoosh. It's slowly drifting away. And one day, no prayer, no going to God's Word, on and on. And all of a sudden, maybe weeks before we finally get to a place of, it could get worse to our heart. It's so hard, it's callous, where we don't hear anymore. Our ears are blunt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sue.
Yeah, I was just going to say, for me, I think hardening is more being content not to hear from God. It doesn't seem that severe, but it is. It's just contentment not to hear from Him. And I know in my own life, to get still and hear from Him is a big effort, because it's not just half an hour. For me, I have to really hear from Him. I have to not read anything, not listen to the radio, not turn on the TV, not do anything but try to listen to Him for maybe a day or two to get away. And that is like severely hard. I mean, it's like uncomfortable. I don't like it. You know, it's a extreme sacrifice for me to take that 24 or 48 hours or 36 hours or whatever and dedicate it totally to God and not do anything but try to listen to Him and read His Word. And it's almost excruciating the first day. And so I'm content not to do that.
I think there's two points that I get from what you're saying. Is one, that you know, sometimes hearing from the Lord is uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, sometimes I don't like what He says. And I don't like what He tells me to do, or I don't like what He wants me to change in my life, or who I need to forgive. You know, it can be painful in that. But it's essential. I mean, I think that's part of the reason that you know, keeping the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments, is that we need a regular time where it's okay, Lord, You're first. You know, I don't tend to take two or three days off like you do. I will take, and I don't do this often as I should. And then, you know, try to take a half hour, hour, where it's like, Lord, I don't have any agenda here. You know, it's you know, Your time. You tell me what, you know, what you want to talk about, where you want to go.
Yeah. I think sometimes when sex is painful, I think sometimes you really need to just go like the extra mile. Like, I can think about
it's been 20 years now, almost 20 years, since when I was praying and Darren had asked me to marry him, and he said yes, and we've been dating, and I knew the Lord brought him in my life and everything, but I'm not patting myself on the back for this, but I'm just thinking of this. I totally forgot about this, but I only had one roommate, but I literally checked myself into a hotel, a cheap hotel, and spent that time with nothing on, no radio, anything, just because I wanted to hear the last confirmation from the Lord that this is what I am to do. And I took it that seriously that many years ago. I wish I would take it that seriously now. You know, like I knew that I needed to shut down everything to hear. That was just what was coming to my mind because I'm thinking, oh my goodness, like I make decisions all the time and I don't take it that severe. You know, I need to start, you know, putting aside that time and just like waiting.
We're more prone to do that when we're facing a big, you know, major fork in the road, you know, major decision like should I get married to this person or not. But if we do it regularly, I think the Lord will show us other decisions that are big and we maybe don't even recognize that they're big. Another reason that you might not be hearing is the Lord might not be your shepherd. Right? The John 10, right, Jesus, you know, said, I'm the shepherd, the lambs know my voice, and they follow me. And if you never hear from God, come talk to me afterwards. You want Jesus as your shepherd. Don't lose the opportunity to hear from the shepherd. You might only be listening for the answer that you want to hear. What Anthony was saying earlier, and I think a few weeks ago, I'm an old car guy. And to clarify that, I'm not an old guy who likes cars. I'm a guy who likes old cars. I'm sure everybody has him. One of the biggest cars, in fact, actually the biggest car show in the county, in fact, the three-county area, now this county, comes once a year in January, the Sunday before Super Bowl. And it's all Sunday. It starts about 9 in the morning. It's still early afternoon. And I wanted to go there. And I'm praying about it. I even talked to Darren. And I know, you know, it's not like the Lord keeps attendance. Even on Sunday, I said, check mark, I'm going to put you in the penalty box for a few hours. I know it doesn't work that way. I'm praying. And so finally, I get an answer from the Lord. And he says, well, you can do what you want to do. I'm like, okay. That's, you know, by far, oh, good, I get to go to Shining. And then, you know, he follows it with a question, well, what do you want to do? I realized what I really want to do is to be here. And that's, you know, I don't want you to hear that to pat me on the back, but it's that we need to listen to his answer, what we want, you know. I mean, we can be in a situation where, you know, we're struggling with finances, and it's like, okay, I need more money. Lord, here's how I can get more money. You know, bless me by bringing me this or doing that. And we are set on, this is the answer I want to hear. You just solve the problem, or you just need to get on board. And the Lord may have other answers, and we just aren't paying attention to them. Yeah.
A lot of times, our problem is we're looking in instead of up and around. Look at those around us in need, and all of a sudden, wanting to pray for things won't be important anymore.
Well said. Well, I mean, the Lord's Prayer, right? Thy kingdom come is before, give us this our daily bread. Right? We should look for His kingdom first. And that's where we start. We might not be ready to obey. Right? If the Lord knows our heart, I want to hear from Him, and He truly is my Lord. Now, the Lord is somebody that you don't go to and say, okay, I mean, I can't imagine somebody going to a king in the Middle Ages, going to him and go, okay, king, you know, what would you have me do today? And the king tells them, and he goes, well, no, I don't want to do that. Off with your head. And the Lord, the king is the Lord. I need to be prepared to be obedient to whatever he has, whatever he tells me to do. And I need to decide that before I hear from him. Let's go to Proverbs 3.
Wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and shun evil.
I think that's better. You almost say it's a promise. That if we acknowledge the Lord in all our ways, things will go better for us. That's what becoming a disciple is all about. And James follows it in that in James chapter 1. The passage that we all know. Quote about here, the last time, 21 to 25, Jesus Christ.
Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does.
We clearly need to be doers of the word. And I think that means the spoken word of the Lord as well as the written word of the Lord. And I think there was a time a number of years ago I was praying with a gentleman. He had a terrible situation happened to him through work. I asked him if I could share the story a number of years ago, and he said yes. He'd been working in a small company and doing trade shows. He'd been charging trade show expenses on a personal credit card to the extent of about $30,000, which he unfortunately had not told his wife about, which became an issue when he lost his job because the company was folding and the guy who owned the business could not repay him the $30,000, and he had to go home and tell his wife that, one, he had lost his job, and two, that he had a $30,000 debt the debt collectors were going to be coming after him for. And he said he'd been struggling with this for ages, and he said it was like cassette tape. It just kept playing in his head and playing in his head and playing in his head. And but he agreed that if the Lord would give him an answer, that he would follow whatever it was. Well, the answer he got was that he needed to forgive this person. Not forget, not quit pursuing trying to collect the debt that he was owed, and that person forgive him. And it was funny, he said that, I saw him many times after, the tape quit playing in his head. And that both, he and his wife were both okay, and the Lord, worked it out. It took, actually, I guess it took about 6 years before he actually received one back from the public. But he was ready to obey before he heard what the Lord was. Sometimes we don't hear because what we want, we talk to, it's come out a number of different ways. It doesn't advance, isn't prayer that would advance his kingdom here on earth. It's for my own selfish desires. The Lord, I mean, he tells us in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so when we ask prayers that are in alignment with that, you know, we're doing exactly what Jesus tells us to do. And it's the kind of prayer that God wants to answer for us. One thing I want to make clear, and that I'm no expert. The more the Lord shows me about prayer, the more I realize that I only scratch the surface. I'm just in nursery school on this. But what it has done is it's put in my heart a desire to spend more time in prayer and to hear more, you know, from him. And I just hope, you know, it does the same for you, because the relationship, you know, I couldn't have a good relationship with my wife or anyone else if I didn't communicate with them. If I didn't share my heart, they didn't share their heart. We didn't share what we wanted, you know, goals, aspirations. And I want that with the Lord. Final thought for you. Complaining that you don't hear from God when your Bible is closed is like complaining that you don't get any text when your phone is turned off. And you all know what that message is. Let's finally go to 1 Thessalonians 2. Thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. Anyone have any final thoughts they'd like to share? Any takeaways that will apply tomorrow, next week?
One of the things that Josh and I have kind of held in our lives when it comes to listening to the Lord, and this is not always applicable, but it's helped us a lot. You know, early in our marriage, someone encouraged us that if you don't know what to do, if the Lord is not telling you this way or that way, don't do anything. Don't say, well, I'm just going to keep moving forward and hopefully it's corrected. It's like I said, you just wait. It's not for every situation. I don't know. But it's pretty sound. And with whether we're in the middle of a storm and there's like 10 different decisions that we have to make at once or just one big decision, that's what we tend to do. We just say, okay, I don't know what to do. I'm not being led. I don't have your peace yet, Lord. So we just wait. And we say, okay, Lord, maybe the deadline for having an answer for someone has to be tomorrow. But if you haven't given me an answer, I'm not going to do anything. So, anyways, that's an encouragement that, you know, big life decisions, little life decisions, little things, just say, Lord, what do you want? And I'm not going to move until you tell me. So.
Mm-hmm. Who else? Karen's very gracious.
Yeah,
I think you
asked. Well, I think it's also, you know, one thing that's helped me, you know, over the years, and of course, sometimes it's a wax and wham. But, you know, I think one of the things that has helped me to hear from the Lord, and it's not always that I have to take a day or 3 hours. Sometimes I throw a prayer of desperation up right then and there in 2 seconds while somebody's talking or they're about to expect an answer, and he'll speak. And so part of it is in your heart and your mind in such a place where you're willing to do or say whatever he wants you to say,
or whatever he wants you to do. You know, I was talking with Nate about a situation at the men's group just where the Lord has told me to say some hard things. I do it, but I'm delaying it, and that's still being disobedient, you know, because I'm not doing it what he says. But and God's helped me to see that and work through that. But just getting our minds and our hearts to such a point that whatever he says to say, whatever he says to do, again, it'll be in line with his word, and it'll be in line with his nature, all those things that you're saying. But whatever he says, I'm going to do it, even if I feel foolish or it sounds dumb or whatever is contrary to culture or the world, whatever you want. It's getting my heart to say, I don't have a will of my own. God, okay, I mean, I might want this, but I'm setting all that aside. I just want to do what you want me to do, and I'm ready. I think that has really, and he knows my heart. He knows if that's just words or if that's real, but that has really helped me to hear from him. And then when he speaks, to obey quickly. And when I don't do that, you know, I notice that the words starts to, I don't hear as much from him. When I do obey quickly, it continues. So that obedience brings on more hearing from the Lord. And the more I hear from the Lord, the more excited I get. The more excited I get, the more I want to obey. You know, and of course, conversely, the other is true. So whatever his will is, I just want to hear it, and I'll do it. That, and then when I do it, I hear more. So that would be probably the best thing that I think I could say that has helped me hear clearly from the Lord. That and knowing his word, so I know I can easily discern, is this the enemy, is this me, or is this him?
Yeah. Well, it is a self-reinforcing spiral. As Pastor Darren is saying, the more you hear, the more you want to hear, and the more you do hear, and the more you obey, the more you want to hear, the more you do hear, and conversely, you know, the other way.
Like Pastor Derek saying, and you're saying, basically, it's surrender everything, obey when you hear, and that's it. Everything else works together the way God wants it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's another way, isn't that another way to say, take up your cross daily?
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fascinating. And please, if you haven't looked at the sheet I handed out the first week, please do. There are so many references to prayer in Scripture. That it's just it's amazing. It's all over the Old Testament, the Gospels, the letters, the prophetic books. It's amazing how much God wants to communicate with us. Thank you, Pastor. Lord's timing is perfect. Let's close in prayer. Father, I ask that you birth in all of us, Lord, a desire to get closer to you. Let us have a desire to follow our Savior, to be his disciple. And as part of that, to get to know you for who you are, our Father, but the Lord of the universe. And help us to have ears to hear, like the little dogs. Tune our ears to your station, Lord, so that we listen for you and for you only. Slow us down. Help us to be obedient. Help us to confess sin in our lives, to take away anything that separates us from you, Lord, so that day by day, hour by hour, that we're more like our Savior Jesus, better disciples, and better able to praise you, to help co-labor with you, to spread your kingdom here on earth, and to provide for those who need. And we thank you for this in the name of our magnificent Savior.